Good morning. I'm Pastor Ben. Welcome to Claremont's Community Church. So today is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. I'm going to call my mom today, although technically yesterday was Mother's Day in Australia. The message today is going to be quite short for a few different reasons. One of them is that I thought it would be a good day to just get out and spend time with each other instead of you sitting here listening to me. Go spend time with your moms and your children. Another reason is that I'm speaking, well, I was originally planning to shape this whole service around Mother's Day and mothers. So I'm going to share everything I know about moms and women, and it's not going to take very long. So we'll be out of here quite soon. And kids are in the service today, which is wonderful because we're speaking from one of the most kid-friendly books in the Bible. Could you turn with me to Judges? That was a joke. It's not kid-friendly. But I will make it kid-friendly. Today, on Mother's Day, we honor all the women who have shaped our lives. And so whether you're a biological woman or a biological mother, an adoptive mother, a grandmother, a mentor, or a woman who simply brings light and strength to your community, today is about you and recognizing your vital role. And to do this, we're going to look at Judges chapters 4 and 5, to look at a woman who expanded the very definition of what it means to nurture and protect a community. We're going to look at Deborah. Reading from chapter 4, again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, now that Ehud was dead. So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. Sisera, the commander of his army, was based in Harosheth Hagoyim. Because he had 900 chariots fitted with iron and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years, they cried out to the Lord for help. Not sure why it took them that long, but they did. Now Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. So for 20 years, the Israelites had been oppressively ruled by Jabin, a foreign king. Society had broken down, the roads were unsafe, and people lived in fear. And into this chaos, God raised up a leader. Deborah was a prophet and a judge. We're told that she would sit under a palm tree in the hill country, and people would come to her for advice and decisions. She was trusted with the highest level of spiritual and civic authority, and her leadership was not confined in any way to her home or otherwise. She brought justice and wisdom and stability to a people who had lost their way. We are not given her backstory, not like Samson or some of the other judges. We don't know how she achieved this level of authority, except that she listened to God, so the people listened to her. People trusted her judgment. We know she was married, but we don't know anything about her husband or whether they had any children. Probably because it really doesn't matter. Those were not things that defined who she was to God or to the nation that followed her leadership. The book of Judges is full of leaders who were deeply flawed. Gideon was paralyzed by doubt and constantly demanded signs from God. Samson was driven by ego, anger, and impulse. Jephthah made a reckless vow that ended in the tragic death of his child. Deborah, by contrast, was clear-minded, courageous, and collaborative. When she heard God's voice, she was obedient and acted with confidence. Her story in Judges hinges around her interactions with a man named Barak. Deborah relayed to Barak that God was commanding him to lead 10,000 men into battle. She even opened the conversation with, "The Lord God of Israel commands you." It really wasn't an option. And the assumption is that Barak was already a military leader of some sort. He wasn't just a random person. We're not told that, but that's the assumption. But sadly, after she gives him this command, this is where things take a turn. Everybody respects Deborah. Everybody acknowledges that God spoke through her or speaks through her. Everybody trusts her. But apparently, not with their lives. Barak's response was to demand... Sorry, I'll insert this, actually. When I was first writing this out and reading commentaries, there are some assumptions that Barak's response was kind of like, okay, I doubt myself, but I trust you, so would you come with me so that I know that God is with me and this is all good, because I don't know that I'm the right person for this job. But as I spent time with this passage, I'm not convinced that was his reaction. Because Barak's response to this command from God through Deborah was to demand in return that Deborah put her own life in danger before he would put his life on the line. He said in verse 8, "If you will go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." And he's not talking about going to the mall. He's talking about going to the front lines of a battlefield. So here is who we can assume is a battle-minded, at least if not tested, man capable of leading 10,000 other men into battle. And talking to a woman known for speaking God's word under a palm tree. And he's saying, if you come to the front lines of this battle with me, I'll go. But not unless you come to. I don't trust you unless you're willing to risk your life for this. And I'm sure this annoyed Deborah. She didn't give him an option. It was a command that God had told her to relay to him. It wasn't even something that she had chosen for him. But God changed his plans for Barak based on his response to Deborah. Deborah replied with strength and authority, "Certainly, I will go with you," she said. "But because of this course you're taking, the honor will not be yours." So Deborah, at least with the words that we have, didn't seem to express any sort of trepidation. She was confident that what she had heard was from God. And so maybe she was annoyed, probably. And she said, okay, fine, I will go to the front lines of battle with you. I will risk my life. But because you are making me do this, you're not going to get the honor that God originally wanted you to have. And that might have been God's decision that Deborah relayed, that Barak would no longer receive the honor. It might equally have been a response from Deborah that God honored. We really don't know, but it wouldn't have been the first time that God did that, that God changed his plans based on the reaction of a human. Either way, it doesn't really matter. What does matter is that Deborah did not shy away from making tough decisions, even to the point of trusting God with her life. And even when Deborah and Barak were on the battlefield, the enemy army was in sight. Death was just a day away. Deborah did not shy away from leadership. If you picture pretty much any historical battlefield movie, such as, in my mind went to Braveheart, there's usually a moment when someone gives the army a pep talk before they rush into battle. And it should be whoever is in charge of the army, right? So in this case, it should have been Barak. But even here, it came down to Deborah to display confidence and clear-headed judgment for the soldiers. Again, she's on the battlefield. She's not supposed to be there. No one really would blame her for not being there. Probably no one expected her to be there. She's a prophetess and a judge, not a military leader, from what we're told. But here we have in verse 14, chapter 4, verse 14. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Go! This is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you?" They're on the battlefield. Barak is the military leader. Why does Deborah have to tell Barak to go? He should know when the right time is to go or not. But from this, we get the picture that he's not. He's, again, just digging in his heels, and Deborah's having to take charge. Now, if you like war stories and tales of violence, you can read about the rest of this battle for yourself. Teenagers, if you haven't read this, I think you would find this book interesting. What I'd like to focus on, though, at this point, is what happened when the battle was over. Throughout this whole portion of the Bible, people are introduced by mentioning who they are related to. When we met Deborah, she was introduced as the wife of Lapidoth. Barak was introduced as the son of Abinoam. But listen to how chapter 5 begins. Judges 5, verse 1. On that day, Deborah and Barak, son of Abinoam, sang this song. Notice anything different here? Deborah, who is obedient to God in all things, stands on her own merit. Barak, who led the soldiers to victory in battle, who actually did the fighting, still does not. Still, we're told they celebrate a joint victory for that day. If this was a musical at this point in chapter, if this was a movie at this point in chapter 5, it would be a musical, because over half the story is singing. And the song that they sing together is very interesting, because it gives insight into not just what actions Deborah took, but how she was viewed, whether it was by herself or by others. In Judges chapter 5, verse 7, in this song, we hear that remarkable line. The peasantry prospered in Israel. They grew fat on plunder because you arose, Deborah, arose as a mother in Israel. Now, if you let that phrasing sink in, she is celebrated as a mother in Israel. And again, we don't know if she had any kids. We're not told that. It really doesn't matter to the story. When we hear the word mother, though, probably here in Canada, greeting cards and commercials will have ingrained a very narrow domestic picture, probably involving a 1950s housewife. We might picture someone whose influence is gentle and confined to the household. Someone known perhaps for their tenderness and patience. Maybe someone like Mary, the mother of Jesus, who seemed to always take a back seat to the men in her life, but who was always also present and attentive. But the biblical picture is much bigger. Deborah looked at the suffering of her people, at the injustice and the fear that kept people hiding in the hills, and she refused to stand by. For Deborah, to be a mother in Israel meant looking at a broken, oppressed society and saying, "Not on my watch." She nurtured the nation by bringing stability, justice, and peace. And because of her leadership, the community prospered and was made whole again. And this is why Deborah is such a powerful role model for everyone today. Society, even people in the church, hopefully not this church, but I don't know, probably, none of us are perfect. Society will sometimes try to put limits on how God can use you. They might tell you that your leadership must look a certain way or be confined to certain spaces. Not everyone is fit for every role, but I try very hard to empower the people around me and at least give willing people a chance. Deborah is an inspiration. So, to the women and girls here today, we need your voices, your wisdom, and your perspectives. Whether you are a biological mother, or single, or married, adoptive mother, if you're widowed, or maybe if you're just a young girl, just figuring out your path, you have the capacity to arise as a stabilizing, guiding force in your communities. Like a steadfast protector, shielding her community from the storm, and a discerning judge, weighing truth and grace with a steady hand. You have the God-given power to speak truth and to advocate for the vulnerable and to lead with courage. You don't need anyone else's permission to step into the calling that God has placed on your life. But this story is not just for women. I think there's a vital lesson here for the men and boys in our congregation about how God expects women to be treated. We saw earlier how Barak reacted when God, through Deborah, called him to act. He hesitated. He demanded that she risk her own safety to validate his. Her word was only good until it impacted him. He wanted her to carry the burden that he was too afraid to shoulder alone. So men and boys, God expects better. He expects you to respect the women he has placed in leadership. When a woman speaks with wisdom, justice, and the calling of God, your job is to listen and to uphold her and to partner with her. And if I'm rustling any feathers here, just know that maybe fall back on just trusting God for yourself. If they're not called from God, let God sort it out. If they are called from God, don't be the one to stand in the way of that. Barak eventually went to the battlefield, but as Deborah prophesied, he lost out on the primary honor because he failed to step up with confidence in the first place. None of us are irreplaceable. We can learn from his mistake. We are called to be a community where men champion the voices of women and where they don't feel threatened by women who speak the words of God with authority, and where they recognize that God speaks just as clearly through the Deborahs of our world. So when you see a woman holding her ground as a fierce protector, anchoring her children in a chaotic world, or stepping up as a moral judge pointing toward the truth, you are called to respect her leadership and stand beside her. I'll also insert here, because it's not in my notes, I'm realizing as I talk that I'm not trying to make a case for women in the pulpit, in case your mind went there. I'm not trying to make a case for anything other than just trust the authority that God has already given to women in your life. Respect them, not just love them. Now that I opened that can of worms, I'll also say I haven't actually looked up what the EFCC stance is on women in the pulpit. I don't really, didn't intend to or mean to address that in any way, shape, or form, but I welcome conversations if anyone wants to, if for some reason that's an issue for anybody. As we celebrate Mother's Day, though, we honor the fierce, protective, and guiding love of women. We give thanks for the mothers who have nurtured us, the mentors who have guided us, and the women who bring stability into our chaotic world. May we be a church that celebrates the Deborahs among us. May every woman and girl know that they have the strength to arise. And may we all work together, side by side, to ensure our community prospers in peace. Happy Mother's Day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for not excluding anybody from your miraculous works and from your magnificent calling. Lord, thank you that you use all of us as a unified priesthood of believers. And we offer ourselves to you today, Lord, as willing servants, perhaps to differing degrees, but as people who are willing and longing to be in relationship with you and to learn more about what it is to be the leaders and faithful servants and obedient followers that you've called us to be. In your name we pray. Amen.
All right. I'll invite you to stand with us if you want. You don't have to. So we decided we